This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity in the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Name one important thing that has not already happened, Gail Martin writes in one of her poems. Her new collection, Disappearing Queen, Martin's third, delves into the passage of time, the way we age, the how queens become queens, like queen bees in a hive. She writes about what we lose and what we gain as our lives evolve and pass by. Martin reads one of her poems.
This is Bustling the Bride. Bustling is basically the process where you hook up the train on a wedding gown to transition it into a more functional length for not getting stepped on or dancing. And that responsibility fell to me at my daughter's wedding. Bustling the Bride. So after she's dragged her train across the rose garden, up through the hotel, down carpeted steps to me, I'm on the ground in my own fancy satin, head awkwardly under my girl's vast skirt. I'm searching in this dark over my glasses for the tiny color-coded threads, the diminutive loops, the slippery ribbons. Everyone has bunched onto the huge porch for a wide-angle photo. My father is there and stands for the shot as they pull his wheelchair out of the picture. I find the right ties, gather and hoist her dress like a sail. Tonight we ride the evening's current, our backs to the wind, our faces to joy. I will never wear this iridescent dress again.
So you won the 2 Sylvia's Press Wilder Prize for this collection. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you to sum it up, and yet that's not an easy thing to do. I know when I ask you that, it's not like a novel with a plot.
Yeah.
But yeah. How would you describe this baby of yours?
I think on one level, I am exploring and witnessing my own awareness of passing time and the poignancy of that, how everything we love is ephemeral and will be taken away. I love the quote from Mark Doty, the agreement to participate in this life is a pact with grief. And I guess looking at my own life as I grow older, all the things and people we say goodbye to, I'm trying to invite some gracefulness into that. So I suppose on another level, I'm trying to reach some measure of inner peace about mortality. To paraphrase Thomas Lynch, the numbers on mortality are really convincing, hovering as they do around exactly 100%. So it still is very different when it begins encroaching into our circle.
And you and I are more or less, I think, somewhere in the same phase of life. When you shared your book with me, you mentioned something about that I'll probably be able to identify, and you were right.
Yeah, I thought so.
And, you know, the title Disappearing Queen, you know, I thought, what is she going to talk about? Is this beehives or what? You're in there too, the queen, I think, but you're certainly not disappearing, not in your poetry.
Thank you.
But it was interesting that the title poem, the very last poem in the collection, begins with the line, I have been invisible for over a decade. And I've thought about that, you know, I've experienced some of that. And I'm curious to have you talk about it as well. For me, it's been kind of a welcome thing. I kind of enjoy that anonymity.
Yeah.
There's a certain freedom.
Yeah. There's kind of a doubleness to that, isn't there? You know, there are so many poems out there about growing old from, you know, Yeats to Billy Collins, but they're not my poems and they're not my experience.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars.
So the 4 Queen Bee poems, the glosas that frame the collection, I believe offer a distinctly female sensibility, which frankly, it's more interesting to me and brings another layer to it. I certainly did not set out to write about bees. They just kept showing up. Did you know that the queen bee was called the king until 1600 when they found the ovaries?
So they didn't realize it was a female.
Right.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's an interesting little factoid.
Yeah. Once you know, you start researching something, you uncover those. But I guess I felt a certain authority about my own experience and more confident writing about that. Although, of course, there's always that vulnerability and exposure. But I think women are charged with carrying the culture, and there is power in that for sure. And then there's another kind of power that you reference, which in the title poem is addressed. In the time left, I want to see how it is to fly without my spangled commitments. You know, do I grow more ordinary or more alive? And wasn't every golden day a gamble? There is a certain power. It's the invisibility cloak.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Older women are not seen, although more people do open the door for me now, which is cool. but, you know, your power shifts, I think, I guess.
Yeah, it's a different kind. No more catcalls, and that's fine.
I'm totally at peace with that.
And you talk about Leo, your grandchild shows up in there, and of course the aging parents, the loss of parents, all of that is a part of this life phase that you address. So goodbyes and hellos and passages are a big part of this life. Do you find that your collections are a kind of memoir, as this is your third one, right?
It is my third book, yeah.
Yeah. Do they become something of a memoir when you look back at them?
I don't know. I've thought about that. I'm watching and learning younger poets, and they talk a lot about the responsibility of poetry.
The responsibility?
Yeah, which, you know, is sort of a new idea to me. I think I'm confident writing from my own experience. I know I have the insulation of socioeconomic and educational privilege. Race enters into it. That protects me from a lot. It doesn't protect me from everything. And I do feel a responsibility to tell the truth about my own life from my lived and observed experience. I don't know that I'm in the camp that believes poetry will change the world. I do believe sometimes the right poem finds its way into the right hands. I had a man once write me from prison about my poem Beacon Road in my first collection.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know how he got the book. I don't, you know, and he spoke about how it touched his heart and was so meaningful. And I just thought, geez. So I guess what I would say is that poetry can comfort us and trouble us, and maybe good poems should do both.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with poet Gail Martin. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.